Thanks for tuning in to our Centerpoint Church podcast. We hope you'll be challenged and inspired as we unpack God's direction and plan for our lives. Let's join into today's message.
Hey there, Centerpoint Church. My name is Scott Krepps, and it is my privilege to be the campus pastor at the Stony Brook campus, and I am excited to be with you all today. I just want to give a kind of a shout out to all of you watching online. If you're at one of our campuses, Bayshore, Long Beach, Kings Park, Holbrook, and of course, Stony Brook, and it's so good to just get to be able to share the Word of God with you right now. And today, we are going to look at one of my favorite Bible verses, and maybe you shouldn't talk about having favorite Bible verses, but this is one that I come back to over and over again. It's one that's really served as a guide to me throughout my adult life, and I am really looking forward to unpacking it here with you today. Now, I have to tell you that this Bible verse is a little bit unusual, because I think when people talk about like their life verse or their most favorite verse, they tend to be verses that kind of sound sweet, or they're like unusually inspiring. I think of people that say, you know, my life verse is for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, or, you know, I am precious, I'm wonderfully and preciously made, and the kind of Bible verses that you could put on a pillow or a coffee mug or on a piece of driftwood and put it up on a wall somewhere, you know, but my verse isn't like that, okay? My verse basically says, don't believe everything you hear, okay? That's kind of the theme of my life verse, and that's the verse I want to share with you today. It's a great verse for those of you who are a little bit skeptical, the kind of people who aren't afraid to ask questions. And I have always been the kind of person who's a little bit skeptical, always willing to ask questions, in fact, willing to question everyone and everything around me. And although I appreciate this quality about myself, my friends and family don't always appreciate it. Just this week, my wife, Melanie, she was telling me about a podcast that she listened to. And it was a podcast that described the rise and fall of this large organization. And she was telling me about, you know, why the organization fell apart and the leadership issues it had. And then she was telling me kind of the podcast host at the end, some of the insights that he had of why he felt like things fell apart. And as she was describing this to me, I started to think, yeah, I don't really buy it. I don't agree. I don't think I get what this guy's trying to say, but, you know, I just don't buy it. I didn't see it that way. And here's the thing. If it was my first year of marriage, I would have told Melanie that I think what she was saying is wrong, all right? That's what I would have said. I would have just come out and I would have let her know. No, but we've been married for 18 years now. And after 18 years of marriage, I've learned that it's okay if my wife wants to be wrong sometimes, all right? That's okay. I don't always need to point that out to her. But when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to spiritual things, we don't want to be wrong. We want to know what's right. And that's why I appreciate this Bible verse so much. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:21. And 1 Thessalonians 5:21 is important because it helps us determine the difference between right and wrong. It shows us what's true and not true. It teaches us how to think the way God wants us to think. And so if you've ever ask yourself, you know, man, in a world with so many options, in a world with so many ideas, in a world with so many different viewpoints, what can I really hold on to? I think 1 Thessalonians 5:21 is a great guide. Now, this verse comes to us in this letter, one of two letters written to the church of Thessalonica by the Apostle Paul. 1 Thessalonians is probably one of Paul's earliest letters, maybe written just after the letter to the Galatians. And in it, he talks about a lot of things. He talks about the return of Jesus, and he talks about the end of the world. But he also, as he gets to the end of this letter, he starts to offer a bunch of little remarks. He says things like, rejoice always and pray without ceasing. And then we come to these words in 5:21. But test everything, hold fast what is good. That's the verse. That's what we want to talk about today. Test everything, hold fast or hold on to what is good. Now, this is a very straightforward general statement that we can just understand and apply it throughout our lives. But it kind of comes in the midst of a train of thought for Paul here. In verses 19 and 20, we are told to not quench the Holy Spirit. And in verse 20, not to despise prophecies. So probably what was going on is there were people in this church that were concerned that people were abusing the gift of prophecy, that people were claiming things from God that God didn't really say, and they were kind of putting a stop to the movement of God, the Spirit of God, because they wanted to avoid excesses. And so Paul, concerned by that, says, hey, you can't quench the Spirit. You know, if God wants to speak to the church, if God wants to speak to his church, you need to be ready to listen. Don't go overboard in your zealousness to try to get rid of those who are using prophecy in the wrong way. But then in verse 21, Paul comes around the other way. He says, but don't just believe everything you hear. Test everything. Hold on to what is good. Now, I think the word test and the phrase test everything is very interesting. The word test comes from the testing of metals. In the ancient world, if you wanted to know the quality of a metal, what would you do? You would put it into the fire. In fact, the Bible has used this phrase to talk about our faith somewhere else. In 1 Peter 1:7, it talks about our faith being tested like gold, which is put into the fire, because the fire tests it and purifies it. In the same way, God tests the quality of our faith to see if it's good. Well, in this passage, God is saying that he wants to test our ideas and our thoughts and our feelings to see if they're good or not, if we should hold on to them or if we should discard them for new ones. It kind of reminds me of my kids. A few years ago, my kids took a STEM class. I have four kids. And at the end of the STEM class, there was a final project where they each had to construct their own case or like a contraption to hold an egg. And what happened at the end of the class, they went to the top of the second story of this building, they went to the roof of this building, and they all put their eggs into a contraption, and they threw it off the roof to see if their contraption would hold up. And so my kids had different creative ideas. One of my sons, he put his egg in Jell-O, and it survived, no problems. My daughter, she wrapped her egg in bubble wrap, which is really smart, but also kind of thought that was cheating. And of course, and it worked though, you know, it survived in bubble wrap. Another one of my sons, he wrapped his egg in marshmallow, but one of my sons, perhaps the most creative among them, he wrapped his egg in spaghetti. And if you've ever wondered, will spaghetti cushion an egg from a two-story drop? I know you were wondering this, right? It will not, okay? It's not gonna work. It didn't work. But God tells us that he wants us to test everything, test all of our ideas and feelings and find out if they're really good, if they really hold up to scrutiny. And so kind of with that in mind, we're already at our first kind of point that we can learn here, the first lesson we can take away, and that's that you and I need to put our ideas to the test. You and I are constantly bombarded with all sorts of ideas. Right? You probably don't even realize it, but through things we hear on TV and, you know, on podcasts or radio or just themes in movies, we are constantly bombarded by all kinds of ideas, all kinds of concepts, things like all religions are basically the same, that a person's faith is a private matter and shouldn't ever go into the public sphere. Ideas like science can explain everything and we don't need to believe in God. Ideas like humans are blank slates, we're neither good nor bad. We're just, you know, we can be whatever we want to be. And I could go on, and you probably have in your mind other bad ideas that you've heard out there. And one of the best things that we can do is put our ideas to the test. Because we all pick up different ideas about religion and morality and right or wrong and ethics. Depends on the family we grew up in, right? The culture we grow up in. We are going to have certain assumptions. And the problem is we can't just always assume that we're right. We can't always assume that we know how things ought to be. We need to understand what God thinks. I can think of a handful of times over the last few years where I've been discipling Christian guys, younger guys, and we've talked about different ways we can honor God with our lives. And the issue, at some point in the discipleship relationship, the idea of pornography comes up. And I've had several times over the years where guys have told me, like, until we talked about pornography from a biblical worldview and talked about it as sin, they had no idea that it was an issue. They had no idea that it was a problem because the family they grew up in, the culture they grew up in, they honestly were like, I didn't know it was such a big deal until I heard what God had to say on it. And so we all have these assumptions and ideas in our minds, and we need to put them to the test. We need to see what God says. And not just that, but we need to test other people's claims, right? We all have different voices that speak into our lives. some are podcast hosts, right? Some are people on YouTube with millions of followers. Some are people who are on TV, or they're respected in whatever field, professors, pastors. Don't just believe what people say because, you know, they dress well. They wear a gray button-up shirt, for example, or put their ideas to the test, right? Listen to what they're saying. And test the arguments that you read and you hear. Don't just blindly believe something. I was reading this book recently, and it was a book by this professor of physics at some big university. I don't even remember what university it was. And he's the kind of guy that had all these fancy degrees at the end of his name. And his book was a defense of naturalism. And naturalism is the idea that science can explain everything in our universe, and therefore we don't need to believe in God because science can explain everything. And his whole book was arguing that, like, you know, there's a lot of reasons why we don't need to believe in God, and really it makes no sense in his mind why we should believe in God. And I remember reading that and thinking, you know, if I was 18 again, I was a freshman in college and I read this book, I might be really kind of swayed by these arguments. But as I started to think critically about it, I started to realize, you know, there's a lot of issues with this book. I don't have time to dig into all those. But for one thing, I was just thinking of all the many scientists and mathematicians and philosophers who are believers in God, who are people of faith, who in their exploration and study of science, they have actually been drawn closer to God. And so we need to not just accept the things we hear. We need to put ideas to the test. But that leads us to a question: how? How do we put ideas to the test? And the answer is something we've kind of talked around a little bit, but there is one way we can evaluate right and wrong, and that's through the Bible, the Word of God. The Bible is the standard by which we can determine what's right and what's wrong, what's true, what's not true. And that's because the Bible is the very Word of God. It speaks to all people for all time and all cultures and all languages. And because it's the very Word of God, we can trust it. And it's so helpful when it comes to determining right and wrong. And there's one verse that really explains this. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says this. It says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." And this is a really interesting verse. This is not my life verse, but it might be a backup. If I ever need a backup life verse, I could go to this one. Because what this is saying is that it's saying that the Bible has the power to defeat bad human thinking, poor human thinking. That bad ideas are like strongholds. And God gives us weapons to fight these strongholds. But the weapons are not swords and spears, but the weapons are the Word of God, the Bible. And so when we hear bad human ideas, we can attack them with the Bible. Bad ideas like, or strongholds. You can think of it like these bad ideas are like a fortress. There's the fortress of moral relativism that says, it doesn't matter. There's no such thing as good and bad. We just sort of make it up as we go along as humans. That's a bad idea, a little fortress. There's the fortress of the belief that science is the answer to everything. The fortress that says the ultimate thing is human freedom and you should do whatever you want. And the Bible comes along and the Bible smashes these fortresses. It says there is a God, and that he's the one who determines right and wrong. It says that freedom only comes through knowing him and following his will. One way to think of it is, it's like when you go to the airport, right? We recently got back from summer vacation and flew back into New York, and we're at the airport, and when you go to the airport, you got to go through the TSA checkpoint, right? And that's, no one's ever looking forward to that. No one's ever like, man, just, I've been waiting to take off my shoes and my belt all day. You know, I'm excited for this. But there we all are, right? And what's the point of that checkpoint? The point is to prevent bad things from getting on the plane. In the similar way, the Bible is there to kind of filter all the junk that comes at us, all the junk that's thrown at us throughout our lives, and to show us what's true, what we should hold on to, and what we should let go of. So the first idea is put your ideas to the test. The second thing that I take away from this verse is very similar, and it's put your feelings to the test. Put your feelings to the test. Now, most people are one of two types. Some of us are logical, and we think through things logically and clearly. You might be able to tell at this point in this message, I'm a logical person, as I've laid out the logical argument for why you should test all of your ideas. But some of us are more feelings-oriented. My wife is very feelings-oriented. She makes decisions often based on her feelings. Some of us are logical-oriented. Some of us are feeling-oriented. That's how God made each of us. None's better than the other. But we also have to think about our feelings, because our feelings can lead us in ways that aren't always right. Thinking of my kids, my kids are involved in all kinds of different stuff, and like sports and music and things like that. And pretty much every week, at some point, somebody's going to say, "Dad, I don't feel like going to soccer practice today." And whenever I hear that, I always want to say, "Do you have any idea how much I pay for your soccer, right? Do you have any idea how much I pay for you to practice soccer? So much money, okay? Like, you're going to go," and I don't go off on them like that, because that'd be rude, okay? That's not good parenting. But you know, as a parent, like, well, look, if you just didn't do things because you didn't feel like it, well, you'd never get anything done. No one hardly ever feels like studying calculus, right? But you got to do it sometimes. And so when it comes to our feelings, we can't make decisions simply based on the way we feel. I think it's interesting that in our culture, we are very feelings-based, meaning that a lot of times people will say, "Well, the reason I made the decision I did is this is how I felt. I felt this way, so I did it. I had peace about it, so I did it." And I can't tell you how many times over the years I've had people justify their bad decisions to me, telling me, "Well, you know, I felt like it was okay." And really, I shouldn't say just people. Like, I justify my bad decisions that way too, right? Well, I felt like it was the right thing to do. Even though I knew it was wrong, even though I knew that God probably wouldn't be honored in it, I did it because I felt like I wanted to do it. But when you read the Bible, we find something else. We find that we can't just trust our feelings this way. What are feelings? You know, feelings are not bad things. God created us with feelings. God created us to have feelings, and feelings are meant to be a guide. I think that's a real key. Feelings are, they're a gauge for what's going on in our hearts. You know, when I have certain feelings, it'll tell me, like, things I might be struggling with, I might be dealing with, but they aren't the basis for which I make my decisions, because that's really dangerous to do. Proverbs 16:25 says it this way. It says, "There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death." See, something can feel right, but it's a sin. Right? It can feel right to, yeah, someone's rude to you, someone's mean to you, and what do? You might gossip about them a little bit. You might, say something mean about them. You might just say something rude back to them. That feels great in the moment, but it doesn't make it right. As the proverb says, it leads to death. It leads to alienation. It leads to, feelings of alienation in relationship, feeling worse about yourself as you reflect on it. And so we need to be careful about our feelings. They show us what's going on in our hearts, but they aren't a great guide. I can tell you, just even not that long ago, just a couple weeks ago, one day, I was feeling kind of hopeless. Had some difficult stuff happening, difficult stuff going on, like all of us do. And I felt kind of hopeless in the moment. And in that moment of feeling hopeless, like, I could have just kind of given into that. I could have been like, you know, all right, this is me today, and I'm just going to wallow in my hopelessness. But instead, I was like, okay, this is a gauge. I need to think about what's going on right now in my heart. I need to figure out why I'm feeling this way. I need to start to talk to God about it. I need to start to pray about it. And I did. I started opening my Bible. I felt like I needed to call a friend about it and kind of share, like, here's how I'm feeling. Here's the issue I'm dealing with. And so when it comes to our lives, we need to listen to our feelings, but not just blindly accept them. And so when I think of 1 Thessalonians 5:21, test everything. That's what it means. Our thoughts, our feelings, our ideas, put it all to the test. We spent a lot of time talking about the first part of this, but I want to wrap up by talking about the second part of this verse. Remember what it says, hold on to the good. Hold on to the good. Do you ever see that documentary a couple years ago? There's this documentary, Free Solo, that came out. And it was about Alex Honnold. And he's this guy that he free solo climbed El Capitan in Yosemite, which means he climbed up the face of it without any ropes whatsoever. It's ridiculous. It's like, don't try that at home, all right? If ever you don't try something at home, don't try to climb up the face of that mountain on your own. But what you see throughout this documentary, whenever he has any downtime, he's working on his grip. He's testing out his grip. He's making sure that his hands are strong enough. Because if you are going to scale a mountain, you got to have a strong grip, right? You can't do that and think your hands are going to fail you. And I was thinking about that when I thought about this verse, because notice what it says there at the end of the verse. It says, hold on, hold fast to what is good. Hold fast to what is right. And so what does that mean for you and me? It means to commit to the word of God as your guide. Commit to the word of God. We've talked a lot about how God's word is meant to guide us. How God's word is meant to show us what's true and to show us what to believe in. And what we need to do to choose, if we're going to choose the path of life, the path God wants us to have, we need to commit to God's word as our guide. And really, that's the role God wants the Bible to play in our lives. Take a look at 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. You see, that's what the word of God does in your life. That's what the Bible does in your life. It first of all, it's God-breathed. I think that's so important to understand that all of the Bible is the very word of God. That means that he chose these words to be spoken for you and I to hear and know. It's how we have life. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting. When we're in error, the Bible puts us on the right path, and it trains us in righteousness. And so you can have confidence in the word of God because that's what it is. It's God's word to you, that the author of Scripture, the Holy Spirit, is with you as you read his word and as he speaks to you. And of course, what the Bible does, maybe most of all, is it connects you to the big story of Scripture. It connects you to the fact that God created you and me because he loved us. But we have this problem called sin. We've touched on it in different ways today. But we have this sin problem, and sin separates us from God. But God loved you and me so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. And if you put your faith in him, you can have eternal life. And the way we know that message is because of the Bible, is because of the word of God. And so what you and I need to do, more than just, you know, testing and examining our ideas and questioning things, as fun as that can be sometimes, what we really need to do is we need to turn to the word of God, turn to the message of the Bible. We need to immerse ourselves in the word of God and let that be the foundation for how we see the world. And I just want to say, you know, the reality is if you look at like studies, if you look at just different polls that are done, like Christians for the most part aren't reading their Bibles. And maybe you're here today, you don't even have a Bible. You know, if you're at one of our campuses, we'd love to put a Bible in your hands. We give away Bibles. They've got bookmarks in them, and you've got like a little reading plan that you can follow with, like in the book of John. Or if you don't have a Bible, you can download one on your phone and start a reading plan. You can get into a life group, because one of the great things that's going to happen if you get into a life group is you're going to start connecting with other followers of Jesus, and you're going to talk about the Bible together, you're going to immerse yourselves in the Bible together, and you're going to learn how to really grow in developing a biblical worldview. And so I think the answer, the issue for us today is who is going to have the final say in your life? Are you going to let God have the final say? Or are you going to let all these other authorities? God offers us the chance and the ability to think biblically, to learn from his perspective. And I hope that's what you choose today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that your word still speaks powerfully to us, even though it was written so long ago. And God, I pray that you would help us to think critically, not so that we can outsmart people or something like that, but so that we can begin to see the world more and more like you do. God, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to your word. Help us to commit to hearing your word more and more. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by today's message. be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page and follow us on social media at Centerpoint NY on Instagram and Centerpoint Church on Facebook. For more information and ways to connect, visit our website at cpchurch.com.